Welcome to the Citizens for Health radio show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Citizens for Health radio show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Citizens for Health provides over 100,000 supporters with consumer news, action alerts, and opportunities to take action. For nearly two decades, Citizens for Health has been a nonprofit pioneer in the natural health freedom movement. The Citizens for Health Education Foundation offers tools to inform the public of health issues and educate and influence policymakers. Jim Turner is here to spread the word about some of the most interesting topics that can affect your world, from the dangers of mislabeled or dangerous products to the questions and concerns of vaccines. You'll want to listen to Jim as he speaks on behalf of Citizens for Health. And now, on to our show with Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Take it away, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You are listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Friday at noon Eastern Time is when we either do a live or a replay of the Citizens for Health radio show. If you go to Citizens for Health on Building Fortunes Radio, you'll be able to hear all of the previous ones. And we made it easy for you. We put up a page, buildingfortunesradio.com/citizens. So citizens.org is the website. Citizens for Health is the organization. And a while back, 2 years plus ago, Jim Turner, who used to do a lot of really great radio shows with us, passed away unexpectedly. And as a result of that, I still have not changed our introduction. So only because we're busy doing a ton of other things. And I'll share with you, I go in and listen to random Jim Turner radio shows on Citizens for Health, and they are all super-duper good. I mean, you could listen to anyone you want, and you'll pick up and learn something. So Jim was a wealth of knowledge. We went through a year or so, probably almost 2 years of a hiatus where I was doing replays, and then I kind of reached out to them, and the timing wasn't right maybe as they were making adjustments. And then finally, James Gormley, who's the president of Citizens for Health, gives us a couple of Fridays every once in a while where we can do our radio shows when he's not busy doing everything else that he's been working on. So as an author, you can go to jamesgormley.com. James is easy to spell. Gormley, that might be a little weird one for some of you. It's GormLey.com. So jamesgormley.com. And you'll be able to see that he's written a book. He's a consultant and overall really super duper good guy. We've had really great conversations both on the air and not on the air. And we're going to continue that trend as we go to have another great conversation today for our Building Fortunes radio listening audience. So James, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Thank you, as always, Peter. I thought Gormley was easy to pronounce, but
spell. It's easy to pronounce, but hey, guys can misspell anything.
Yeah. Yeah, there aren't that many Gormleys in the United States, actually, interestingly enough. I wanted to kind of just talk about some positive. Well, I always like to talk about positive stuff. Well, mostly. I also can get into more controversial topics, but. Today I wanted to take a look at the really exciting stuff that has been happening in Israel in relation to innovation. And this isn't something that just started. I mean, we know that Israel only started in 1948 as a recognized nation. And it's a small nation. But despite the fact that it's a small nation, I know from the last 30 years, I've been taking a look at what's been going on in Israel as far as innovation in agriculture, food production, dietary supplements, nutritional ingredients. I know Lyco Red with the Lyco Motto product, and that there have been so many other a lot of the original research on black elderberry was done there. I believe it was Sambucol. Dr. Mumshiglu did a lot of the early research on that in Israel as well. And recently I had a chance to publish an article in Food and Beverage Insider magazine, which is sort of like the food and beverage sister magazine of Natural Products Insider that comes out from Informa. But it was basically taking a look at, okay, so Israel is entirely small, but it's considered number two after the United States in food and beverage innovation. And according to an article in Jerusalem Post, it's been a big area of innovation in cultivated meat technology, so we'll just say like fake meat, and development, and many other areas. So a few of the companies whose very exciting work, I don't want to just monopolize the whole thing. Do you have any questions for me right now, Peter?
No, besides the whole concept that Israel, people think that Israel as a state has been there, well, not everybody, but lots of people that aren't familiar with history think it's been there forever. And although, you know, it may have some religious forever to it, there, as far as a country, it's really relatively new. You know, it's relatively new. They've done amazing things in many areas.
That's true. That's true. And it's, so one of the things, one of the companies is in Haifa, there's this meat innovator called Ever After Foods. A lot of the companies there have like sort of like things that take a nod to like religion or or things like that, which is kind of cool and interesting as well. But they're looking, this particular company, the head of it is Eyal Rosenthal, and he was telling me that he said, Israel is a region that's been politically isolated state in a region of the world that's water poor. And this is, with a scarcity of land, he told me that Israel, basically been forced to focus on innovation in a lot of areas. And so his particular company has been growing what's called adherent stem cells, which are basically natural cells that are able to create different tissues, such as muscle and fat. When I say tissues, it's more for food that we would get with, that you would otherwise get with, beef or chicken or, whatever. So they have this whole sort of sustainable, they call it a edible packed bed bioreactor, which is it grows these tissues in a eco-friendly environment. There's another company in Kiryat Shemona, which is called BioBetter, and it uses these growth factors, believe it or not, including insulin and fibroblast growth factor 2. That's a tough one to say. And they actually are, this is really crazy stuff, crazy in a good way, but they take tobacco plants, and they're not growing tobacco for people to smoke. It's just taking advantage of this particular plant. And they use tobacco plants as self-sustained animal-free bioreactors to grow cultivated meat. So basically they're taking steps to make sure that there's no escape of any of the transgenic, material and stuff like that. So it's really quite revolutionary. I have a couple of others I can tell you about as well.
Yep, keep going.
Which I guess, all right. So there's another company in Tel Aviv it's an organization, not really a company. It's called the ICL Planet Startup Hub. So it's been doing some investing in ag and food research. And so it's been investing in this company called AgriMatch. And it's been using, in conjunction with an artificial intelligence, which I know it's a big topic for you, Peter, but it's been looking at that and utilizing this artificial intelligence agritech startup as well. And so basically what they're doing is they're taking using these AI models, and they're coming up with taking predictive algorithms to run through billions of molecules in this database, and they're coming up with candidates for, if you're looking for a particular nutritional functionality of a particular crop nutrition product. So they're, so while the crop nutrition products themselves would need to go through a whole regulatory challenge normally, with their AI-based process, the system can really characterize a lot of important compounds. And these are, we're talking natural compounds here, not like, you know, Frankenstein stuff. But to come up with nutritional sort of combinations that would be able to be included in foods. There's another company in Tirat, Carmel. It's called Maolac. And this is maybe the most interesting of the whole group is they're actually coming up with these biofunctional protein mixes to mimic breast milk, which is why they actually say lac in this part of the name. So they're also using AI in this thing called the proteomics discovery platform. So they're basically using that to identify proteins that aren't found in natural sources that are similar in function to human breast milk, which is what a lot of people call the gold standard of functional nutrition. So it's just amazing stuff that they're doing. And so they're coming up with, you know, they're mimicking, you know, nature knows best, nature's wisdom. And they're taking a look at that and saying, you know what, let's see how, we know breast milk is great for infants. We know, but obviously people, it would be impractical and slightly weird to try to like completely replicate it. But I think they're just taking a look at some of the aspects of why that milk is great, because it has all of these immunoglobulins in it, these natural immune substances. It has, you know, a great deal of nutrition. So that particular company is trying to mimic some of that, come up with these products that provide some of those benefits. And this is not for infants. This is for people in general. So I think it's pretty exciting. It's just all of the, not just these particular companies. This is just a snapshot. I mean, the innovation in Israel has been like off the charts for certainly since World War, well, obviously right after World War II, from the 50s until now, it's just gone through the roof in terms of, in terms of innovation. So these are a few of the exciting things that kind of caught my attention.
Excellent. So let's do this. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. We'll kind of comment on this stuff, and we'll kind of expand on the product, on this process as well. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Citizens for Health radio show, brought to you by Citizens for Health on buildingfortunesradio.com with Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Citizens for Health provides over 100,000 supporters with consumer news, action alerts, and opportunities to take action. You can learn more by going to the website citizens.org. That's www.citizens.org, or through the link to the Citizens for Health show segment on buildingfortunesradio.com. For nearly two decades, Citizens for Health has been a nonprofit pioneer in the natural health freedom movement. Our special guest, Jim Turner, has an extensive background as an attorney and is one of our favorite experts on Building Fortunes Radio. Tune in often and listen to Jim. Visit buildingfortunesradio.com. Click on the Citizens for Health radio show link to learn more and hear our archived radio shows. Thanks for listening to Citizens for Health Radio, and now back to our show.
And we're back. Peter Mingles here with James Gormley. JamesGormley.com is his website. Citizens for Health is the organization. Citizens.org is the organization that he's president of. And there's a lot of really great information on Citizens.org, and make sure you sign up for their newsletter. So a couple of comments real quick about this. And I'll start off with my personal philosophy. Here's what I've learned. You know, sometimes you have to try to figure out how to maneuver around your own life. So I have to come up with these philosophies that I remind myself. So here we go. Whenever I need to be an expert at something, I am probably smart enough to really hurt myself. So I'll kind of explain that. So whenever you need to be an expert in something, and I am not an expert in that thing, and then trying it, I'm probably good enough just to kind of, hurt myself. So if it comes to, like, I'm going to use an example of, like, a website. If my programmer built us a website and I kind of know how to log in and I kind of know how to move around, if I start deleting or adding stuff to it, meaning I'm smart enough to be able to add or move some stuff around, but I'm not an expert at building that specific website, I might totally screw it up because I might change a setting, I might move something around and blah, blah, blah. So I'm smart enough to be able to push the button, stupid enough, if you will, or incompetent enough and or nice meaning enough, but kind of still mess it up. So I'll apply my philosophy to this conversation. This is all great, and we're getting better at becoming experts, but I don't think we're quite there yet. So I have an excitement and a hesitancy. Now, I'll kind of jump in there as well with one other thing. I like to try to increase my own knowledge on a lot of stuff, and there's a podcast that I'll kind of say, hey, you got to check it out. It's the All In Podcast. So if you go to YouTube and you go to type in All In Podcast, you'll see that there's four smart dudes sometimes. One of the smart dudes is David Freeman, or Freeberg. And I don't want to say that this is my idea. I picked it up from him. And artificial intelligence has been a very, very new thing on the block since, you know, the last year, maybe year and a half or so. Most of us have been able to figure a little bit of it out. But I'll share with you, there are some scientists, I'll call them, that have really dug into protein folding. And protein folding is something that really opens up, and CRISPR, you know, the ability to actually make a portion of your DNA work again or not work, where it's working against you. And because of artificial intelligence, we all know the large language model, but they have taken databases of protein folding and gene therapy and gene modification and uploaded it into these supercomputers and then say, now here's my problem, can you fix this? And it's come up with better, faster, easier ways to fix things than human beings have ever been able to do ever. So is this artificial intelligence imitating nature? It might be. It just might be. It's kind of predicting the future mutations that you might need. So I'm really, really super pleased. And I know that all those Israeli guys and gals and scientists and all those organizations are implementing this artificial intelligence. But using these supercomputers that can crunch models together that work can really make a very, very big difference in the advancement of these things. Now, whether I think I'm going to, like, order fake meat if I go to Outback, I don't think so. Maybe just as a goof. I'd order gator tail. We're down here in Florida. So I might order gator tail because I just want to taste it, but may not make it my full meal. So there's a lot of things that are both exciting and scary about the same topic when we talk about this modification. So I'll let you comment on what I just mentioned.
Yes. Yeah, no, those are good points. I was excited about innovation in general. I wasn't, I should point out that I am excited about innovation in general. And for this particular article, I was excited about finding out about some of the innovative things that some of these really wildly talented startups are doing in Israel right now. I'm not saying I would want to eat fake meat necessarily. I know the Impossible Burger seems to be popular, but it's just not my bag. I don't have anything against it. I think it's great for additional options for people. And at Citizens for Health is always about give people the options, let them choose what they want to do. Do they want electric? Do they want hybrid? Do they want, you know, combustion engine? You know, it's up to them. So, you know, I also remember reporting when this stuff first came out, not from Israel, but just in the U.S., when some of these companies came out with this, what they actually called the pink slime at the time, which was like, you remember that, right?
I do.
Yeah. So that was talking about like the original efforts for that. And I think there was somebody who came out. I think it might have been a celebrity. I don't know if this is the Oprah thing or something else. I might be misremembering, but somebody
Bill Gates pretty good at this stuff. Bill Gates is usually at the forefront of pink slime.
But I mean, I think somebody was sued, like by, I don't know, the pink slime makers or something, whatever. And like they had to stop calling it pink slime or something. They had to call it like textured meat protein or something like that. So I mean, there is a Frankenstein aspect to some of the stuff. Don't get me wrong. Where, you know, we're pushing things maybe beyond, either beyond where they should be pushed, or we're maybe moving a little bit too fast in some cases. So I'm not saying the companies I was talking about today are moving too fast. What I am saying is that I do think we need to not move forward with blinders on. I think we should always keep, as a global society and American consumers in particular, not just consumers, but also people involved in the natural health movement and natural products, I think it's important that we make sure that we always pay attention to ethics, ethical principles. Just because we can do something, does that mean we should do something? It may mean that we should give it a try, but in some cases it might mean that we shouldn't. So, for example, with GMOs, I really have never seen a very good argument as to, aside from, you know, those arguments about feeding the world, which I think are specious. I think GMOs are almost always bad. Bad meaning in the sense that you are perverting nature and introducing so many dangers to the world. I mean, even if we look at what happened with what happened with L-tryptophan back, God knows, what was that, 30 years ago or so, where this Japanese company happened to be Japanese, nothing against Japanese industry, but they decided to reduce the levels of activated carbon in their this genetically engineered bacteria that was producing L-tryptophan. So what happened was, it was a tragedy. A bunch of babies died, and a lot of babies got sick around the world, including the United States. And, it caused this huge panic about L-tryptophan. There's nothing wrong with L-tryptophan. It's a fantastic nutrient. And but it just got tarred and feathered with this whole thing. And I think a big part of that was because they were using a genetically engineered bacteria. Not to even get into the whole Monsanto thing with the Roundup. And, you know, we should do a whole program on GMO, on GMOs. But that is an example of an area where can we develop these things? Yeah, we can develop it. We have the technology. Should we? Not necessarily. You know, when we look at almost all of the corn and soy in the United States is GMO. I mean, at one point I remember seeing stats of 80% or 90%. I don't remember which was which. And maybe at this point it's closer to 100. But that's not where we should be. That's not where we should be. So I think we should definitely, as a society and as a natural products industry and natural products movement, I think we should take advantage of some of these exciting technologies, but we should do it thoughtfully and with a degree of caution, where we don't get too far ahead of ourselves and wind up with some sort of health or ecological disaster. We obviously know what happened with, the COVID virus you know, the Wuhan Institute of Virology with, you know, tinkering with that particular virus. So, yeah, so, yes, let's use technology. All of this stuff, including this Israel innovation, is very exciting. But I think, broadly speaking, we should proceed with just a degree of caution as we go forward.
I totally agree. So I think when we're, you know, if you start to take a look at, you know, how can we genetically modify anything to be able to improve it, that might sound like a really good idea with probably really good intentions. You know, maybe if you wanted to make a human being that would resist being bitten by mosquitoes, that could probably save a lot of people around the world from malaria or irritation or any other diseases. And that might sound really good. So while you're single-handedly focused on making sure you don't taste good to mosquitoes, what else might be happening at the same time that those unintended consequences are just crazy? So I don't know. It's going to be an interesting thing. And we said just before we started on the radio show off the air, I think this is our last decade of being somewhat human beings the way we are genetically. I think we're tinkering with so many things in so many different areas that this is it. It's over. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. Whether it's the food that we're eating, the environment that we're living in, the water that we're drinking, the injections that we're putting in our body, the medications, we are genetically altering the human race one way or another. And that's going to have I am not optimistic at the end of this story. I just don't think it's gonna end well.
There's a lot of scary, you know, aspects. You know, Terminator. You know, people say, "Oh, Terminator! What an entertaining group of movies, isn't it? What a crazy idea, isn't that crazy?" Crazy. You know, not necessarily all that crazy. I don't think it's gonna be that necessarily. The future will necessarily look like that, but there are a lot of very real concerns, you know, about where things are headed. If we look at the COVID virus, which is like rewriting messenger RNA at the genetic level.
Crazy.
You know? Yeah.
Just think about that. Like if I gave you, like, say, for instance, chocolate chip cookies. If I gave you, like, a pound of chocolate chip cookies to take, well, then, you know, you're done with that pound of chocolate chip cookies over time, whether it's a day, a week, or a month. But if I give your body the instructions on how to make chocolate chip cookies, when is it over? I don't know. Like, I don't know. And if you say, it's going to be over soon, I'm like, I don't trust that. Like, I don't trust that. So I have, and they're moving towards everything being messenger RNA, all future vaccines. I'm like, oh my God, have you not listened to my philosophy about being an expert? We're not experts at this. We've never been experts at this. Matter of fact, we've been experts at failing this. So I don't know. I just don't think it's going to happen. Here's the thing, though. I think we had a little bit of an inkling of how it's all going to end anyway. So all this stuff is just, we'll call it just drama. We had the solar flares that reminded us this the big burning thing in the sky, that if it's pointed in the right direction and it burps for a couple of minutes, we're all going to be without electricity sometime soon. So I think that's going to be like the great reset, you know? So once that happens, I think, you know, nature has a way of resetting the stupidity that mankind can create, and I don't think we really have to worry about it. So for all those people that are tinkering with genes and playing around with the whatever, you know, I think after electricity's gone, the deer will repopulate, we'll have a few more, you know, fish in the ocean and all that sort of stuff, and the world will be a much nicer place without the human race. So I don't think we're going to be able to escape to Mars before then. But anyway, so having said that, I'll let you comment, and we'll be back next week on the Building Fortunes Radio on citizens.org. So go ahead, James.
So, yeah. No, thank you, Peter. Those were good points there. But, yeah, I think I am – so I'm a science geek. I've always been a science geek and technology geek. And so I definitely – as a journalist and as a, even in just looking at, you know, agricultural innovation and innovation in nutritional products and ingredients and crops and nutraceuticals, I've always found, not always, but for decades, I have found that all of that very exciting. And I still find it very exciting, which is why I suggested to write the article in Food and Beverage Insider on innovation in those sectors in Israel, which is exciting. There's no doubt about it, and I'm going to be watching it closely to see, you know, with great interest to see how some of these things and other things, not just in Israel, but just, you know, around the world, how they proceed. And so that's all good. And then, but, you know, as a total side point, I also will be keeping an eye, either me and then just on behalf of Citizens for Health and our, you know, our supporters and subscribers and allies, you know, we're going to be taking a look, keeping on our eye on some of the developments around the world to make sure that people are aware of what's going on, whether we're talking about food irradiation, whether we're talking about GMOs, whether we're talking about electromagnetic issues, whether we're talking about nuclear radiation, you know, so these are all things. There's a yin and yang to all these things. So many of these things, there's interest, but there's also caution and degrees of awareness that I think it's important that we're aware of some of these exciting things, but also aware of some of these potential dangers as well.
Excellent information. So we're going to dig further into this stuff as we go, and thanks for listening in. James, I'll let you wrap it up.
Well, thanks so much, Peter. Always a pleasure, and we're going to be taking a look at some of these issues at Citizens for Health over the coming year, not necessarily Israeli innovation in particular, but we're going to be taking a look at some of these issues, issues unrelated to this, including net neutrality, and been some stuff going on with that, and a lot of other issues that don't automatically seem like they're related to health freedom, but they touch every area. You know, because if you're on a website or you're being shunted off of a platform, or you don't have access to something because you've, you know, exceeded your number of megabytes of data transfer for that month, you know, I mean, you won't get the health information you need. So we're going to keep an eye on some of those things, some of those developments in those areas as well.
Absolutely. Great. Well, check them out. Yep, jamesgormley.com, and then also go back to buildingforgeradio.com/citizens, and if you go to citizens.org, you'll be able to check out that website as well. Sign up for the action alerts. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Peter.
You've been listening to the Citizens for Health radio show, brought to you by Citizens for Health on buildingfortunesradio.com with Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Thanks for listening. For nearly two decades, Citizens for Health has been a nonprofit pioneer in the natural health freedom movement. Go to www.citizens.org to learn more and always listen in to Building Fortunes Radio, where our special host, Jim Turner, shares crucial information about many of the most important issues that affect your world. Citizens for Health provides over 100,000 supporters with consumer news, action alerts, and opportunities to take action. So listen in, get involved, and help spread the word. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more Citizens for Health segments with Jim Turner and Peter Meagle. And read about what's new on www.citizens.org. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Jim Turner, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to go spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.